good helping of folk and ballad and gospel music with a shkelp of jigs and reels thrown in for good measure too. Double that up with celebrity interviews and you have the perfect hour with Paul and Jerry every Thursday night on Sky 186 Iosat TV between 10 and 11 p.m.
The time is 9 o'clock.
Midwest Radio's top of the hour with Remind. Start the day with Remind supplements to support your brain function throughout the day. Remind, available in pharmacies or online at remind.eu.
Midwest Radio Bingo in association with Western Alzheimer's, where remembering us in your will helps to share the care on westernalzheimers.ie.
Radio Bingo!
Bingo!
Eyes down, everybody. It's time for Midwest Radio Bingo for Thursday, the 25th of April. Today we're playing for €300 on a pink sheet and your numbers are 6 and 2, 62. 7 and 8, 78. All the 2s, 22. 2 and 7, 27. 1 and 9, 19. 4 and 8, 48. 5 and 8, 58. 3 and 2, 32. 3 and 4, 34. And 8 and 5, 85. If you fill a full panel, call 0946 30169 to claim your prize between 4 and 8 o'clock this evening. Yesterday's snowball game for €9,000 was not won. So next week's snowball game is worth at least €9,300 with three extra numbers called. And your Radio Bingo books are available in shops across the region right now. You can pick up your books in the Kilchamaw area at Kavanagh Supervalue, Carroll Supermarket and Walshtown Filling Station. You can also get your books online by going to midwestradio.ie or by calling us on 0946 30169. Today's numbers are once again 62, 78, 22, 27, 19, 48, 58, 32, 34, and 85.
Bingo!
Bingo!
Radio Bingo!
Midwest Radio Bingo in association with Western Alzheimer's, where remembering us in your will helps to share the care on westernalzheimers.ie.
Tickling your boss's hand is not appropriate. Shaking it is. Eating a bucket of KFC at your desk is not appropriate. Eating the new KFC lunch meal deal is. It's a Twister Wrap crisps and drink from €7.50. Workplace appropriate for when finger licking is not. Weekdays until 3 p.m. in-store participating restaurants only. See kfc.ie for full T's and C's.
Tommy Maron Show on Midwest Radio with Westport Adventure, opening this May at Westport Estate. Experience the excitement with twin zip lines, aerial trekking, climbing walls, Ireland's largest net park, and much more. The adventure awaits on westportadventure.ie.
It is Thursday morning, the 25th of April. Hello there, and a very good morning to you. Happy Poetry Day. Hello, good morning and welcome to today's programme. We will be talking poetry very shortly on the programme to celebrate Poetry Day with Poetry Ireland. We've got the one and only Martin Dyer as our poet in residence to celebrate Poetry Day 2024. That's shortly. Lots to talk about on the radio show today. As always, if you'd like to be part of the package, you can text or WhatsApp 087 900 4141. Brought to you by the Perfect Public Pint House at 123 West 45th Street there in New York City. Exactly as it says, the perfect place to relax. You can call us on 0818 3055 or send us an email to studio@midwestradio.ie. We'd be happy to hear from you. Now, I mention first on the programme today to say hello to Cahill, who celebrates his birthday today in Bow. Good morning to you, Cahill. Have a lovely day today. That's in with love and best wishes from all the family. And a big special hello to a wonderful boy called Jaden O'Malley, who's been a great guy, and it's his first Holy Communion Day today in St. Patrick's in Ballina. So good morning, Jaden. That's Jaden O'Malley on his first Holy Communion today, and all of his friends in St. Dimna's School there. Have a great day. And that's from Paula John and all the family. So big day today for Jaden and indeed all of the young people from Ballina who will receive their first Holy Communions today. Now, a young man called Leonard Barry was in touch with me. And Leonard is doing a gig in Matt Malloy's Yard Bar. And it's on this evening to mark the launch of his brand new solo album. And the gig is alongside Michael McGoldrick, Shamey O'Dowd and Andy Morrow. And it's all systems go for Leonard Barry, on the launch of his solo album. So we wish Leonard the very best tonight, and hopefully lots of people will show up at Matt Malloy's Bar in Westport to celebrate the launch of his album. Derry Wash National School, they were in touch with me asking me to give a little plug to their 5K walk run, which is on this Sunday. You can register at the school in Derry Wash at 9:30 on Sunday morning. The race is at 10 and refreshments will be served afterwards in the school. Now, there will be restricted access to Derry Wash Road there between 10 and 11 on Sunday morning due to the fun run. So just bear that in mind. And I also want to give a big call out and congratulations to all of the Kilchimaw Amenity Park Committee, because there's going to be a big, big, big day for them. The Emigrant Park is being officially launched and opened this Saturday at 12 noon. And the launch and the opening will be performed by Bill Durkin. Bill, of course, a very, very generous man, and he's made a substantial donation towards the park's fundraising appeal, which has allowed for the project to reach its momentous milestone. So for the people of Kilchimaw and surrounding areas, we're asking you to come out in force on Saturday, 12 noon, there at the Kilchimaw Amenity Park for the opening of their emigrant park. It's going to be very, very special. It's a voluntary committee. And they have been doing this, I think, for about 14 years now. They were founded 14 years ago. Their vision has always been to provide a very safe, bright and learning environment in an open area, not only for the community of Kilchimaw, but also for those in the neighbouring towns. So it really is a celebration of East Mayo, the opening, as I say, of the Emigrant Park, which will take place on the Knock Road entrance to the park, is on Saturday at 12 noon. So to Orla Gibney and all of the hard-working committee there at Kilchimaw Amenity Park, congratulations. And one other little plug, the springtime concert of Mayo Male Voice Choir. We had them on earlier this week with their musical director Deirdre Lee and special guests, is on in the ATU of Mayo campus, and it's on tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock and it promises to be a special evening. You can get tickets still from Eventbrite and support the lads of the Mayo Male Voice Choir tomorrow evening in Castlebar.
Midwest Radio Traffic and Travel with Bus Aaron. Use a TFI Leap card and save on your fare. For more information, visit busaaron.ie.
On the roads today, not too bad this morning. It's dry and safe enough on the roads, but take care, please. As you know, four more deaths on our roads yesterday. Now 68 people have lost their lives on Irish roads since the 1st of January this year. 68. It's absolutely atrocious what's going on in the context of carnage on our roads. So please be careful out there this morning. Starting across Galway City and County, well, Galway City, not too bad inbound this morning. Major routes are moving fairly well. Don't forget about the full closure of the N17 Tuam Bypass. And it means that northbound and southbound carriageways are closed, as is Ballygaddy Junction northbound and southbound. And what it means is that traffic is being diverted through Tuam Town on the R939. And it is causing major delays to traffic every morning this week. Tomorrow should see the end of it. And I know lots of people will be saying not before time, but I know that the people, the Lagan Operations and Maintenance Limited people who are working on that, are doing it as fast as they possibly can. They are resurfacing part of the N17 there, that the Tuam Bypass. Elsewhere across the region, no delays reported in Roscommon Town or French Park. Castlereagh and Boyle moving fairly okay this morning. Sligo City okay inbound. No delays reported across Tobacurry, Ballymote, Bunanaden or West Sligo areas. In Mayo, usual delays apply apply there on the Claremorris side of Val due to temporary traffic lights. Also between Westport and Murrisk, watch out for temporary traffic lights there. But all other areas across Mayo appear to be moving well today. But if you are on the roads and there is something we need to highlight, please do let us know and we'll pass that information on to our listeners straight away. As always, our thanks to Bus Éireann for bringing us the update.
Midwest Radio Traffic and Travel with Bus Éireann. Use a TFI Leap card and save on your fare. For more information, visit busaaron.ie.
So it is Poetry Day. We'll be talking about that. We'll also be joined on the programme today by Kate Donnelly, who's Secretary of the Mayo branch of the Irish-Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. After 10 o'clock, the future of rural schools. Brendan Lavelle, who describes himself as a rural school advocator, will join us on the programme. We're also going to be touching base with Lewisburg Feroiga Club ahead of their big social dance on Sunday. And Mark Gilmore has the finance feature, as always. But before all of that, let's go to Ballina. As you know, we've been covering this story almost every day on the programme since protesters decided to put people in place at both entrances to the Twin Trees Hotel in Ballina following disclosure that 120 refugees and asylum seekers are going to be placed in that hotel. And there's been a lot of controversy in Ballina over this particular decision, with the Ballina Says No group saying that there simply isn't enough resources to allow for this to happen. They have been calling for the last 2 weeks to meet with government representatives to discuss the situation. And yesterday morning, that meeting took place. I'm joined by Marie Loftus, who is one of the spokespersons for Ballina Says No. Marie, good morning.
Morning, Tommy.
So you met yesterday with a government official, is that correct?
Well, he didn't describe himself. He doesn't work in the civil service. He is a retired government official and was brought back in to head up this community engagement team. So there was nobody present there from the government.
So it was one individual. How many from your group were in attendance?
So as far as I was aware, the contact was going through me, and there was three of us there. But then we realised afterwards there was other people on the road invited. But there was quite a number of people also invited who were state-funded bodies, some people from Mayo Northeast and Moy Valley Resources. There was no representation from anyone from the education, local education provisions, or nobody present from any of the healthcare services in the town, which I thought they should have been invited and they should have been there.
What happened at the meeting, Marie?
Well, what I witnessed yesterday, In my own view on it, is that it was a deceitful and deceptive box-ticking exercise. Because really, when I asked in numerous times what exactly was the objective of the meeting, I was told he was here to talk around what was happening in the town. When I asked about consulting with the locals, he did tell me that, unfortunately, these processes, there's no provision for consulting with locals. And when I pressed and asked why, he said, well, the reason why is that if people locally knew what was going to happen beforehand, they would come out and protest, and there'd be safety concerns for the new owners and the people working in the building who'd have to walk past the process. And I also asked him then at that point, about the safety concerns for the local people when undocumented individuals are going to be placed in that hotel. And he had no answer for me.
But how do we know they're undocumented?
Well, from government stats, we can see that 87% that have come in, this is from the government website, the most recent data, 87% of individuals who passed through Dublin Airport and claimed international protection status in Ireland in 2023 had either no documents or the documents they produced were false.
And was the government official, Marie, in a position to clarify whether they are undocumented?
No, the government, I won't call him a government official because I'm not sure of his proper role, but he wasn't in a position to clarify anything. He had no information on, I had asked, there's a guideline printed, it's widely available on government websites, a guideline on on temporary accommodation in existing buildings and how that accommodation should be sought and what the protocols basically that are in place. So I had that document with me and I asked him about the assessment of the accommodation. Had it been done? He didn't seem to know about anything like that. I asked him, was there assessment with regards to healthcare, services and education? He said, no, they had no paperwork on that. He said they were informed informally that our education and our healthcare services could cope with the extra numbers. But he had no documentation, he had no feasibility study. So when we pressed him on how this occurred, how was the Twin Trees put forward, or did the government approach the owners? And he told us straight out that the new owners approached the government. They said, we have a building, and the government said, great, okay. Basically, that's how the deal happened.
And how did the meeting conclude?
Well, the meeting concluded with everyone there saying, we're getting nowhere. We're going around in circles. People are voicing opinions. I asked, several people voiced opinions, and I asked, what was spoken about in the meeting go back to the government? And he told me, now this meeting was about an hour and 45 minutes long. Nobody took minutes. I asked, how exactly would this information get back to our government? How could we know that our frustrations and our sheer disappointment with our government, how could that get back? And he said he'll write a report. And I asked, could I have the report in the meeting? He said yes. When I said to him afterwards, when I reminded him to send me on the report, he said he didn't have the authority to send me the report, but I would have to put in a request to the relevant body to get a copy of this report.
Were any guarantees made by him to suggest that until the report is published that none of these refugees or asylum seekers will arrive?
No. This, from what I gather, this man, and it's no reflection of this man, he came and sat with us and spoke to us. He's been put in an awkward position. But what I gather from his job or his whatever it is he does, he does not have authority to give any guarantees. He does not have, he obviously doesn't know what's going on in the background. His point of being there, honestly, in all honesty, I think it was pointless. I think it was just a pointless exercise, the whole thing. And that's how everyone felt at the end of it.
So you still feel as though you're in limbo?
Yeah, we did get from him, because we pushed for this information before the meeting, if the contracts had been signed. And we only got clarification of that at 9 o'clock the morning that the meeting was due to go ahead. And at that point, I had assumed that because it was so late in the day, there was going to be no meeting. And it wasn't until 20 past 10 in the morning that they clarified with me that, yes, the meeting was still going ahead. Like, it was so haphazard. We gathered that there's an issue with the fire compliance cert, and that's the reason the contracts haven't been signed at this moment. He said that's not saying that won't be sorted in the next few minutes or the next few hours. Like, when we arrived at the meeting place, that the government sent an invite out to several people with a time and a place, and we arrived, and the staff of that building knew nothing of the meeting. And after the meeting, we were approached to foot the bill for the invoice for the room rental. Like, I have never, ever been in a situation where somebody has called a meeting and I've been approached to pay for room rental at the end. And in all honesty, I just think it shows how our government, it's like, they're like ducks swimming in water. Their legs are moving under that water and they just don't have a clue what they're doing. And that's being honest.
Okay. All right. So that meeting, as you say, it lasted about an hour and 45 minutes. The individual, whether he was representing the department or whether it was representing the government, you're not too sure. Finally and briefly, any indication from him as to how quickly or how soon he would have that report published?
He said next week, that he'd write a report next week. He's basically saying that this is going to happen, and in the next few years there's going to be tens of thousands more refugees He also said, don't worry, they won't be in hotels next year. They'll be in large industrial units dotted around the country. And in all honesty, this plan, I wouldn't even call it a plan, it just has to be stopped. Our government they've just lost the run of themselves, and they're really not listening to the people. Okay. What's happening here, it's a scathing attack on democracy. It really is, and I am hugely disappointed in our Irish government. I really am, Tommy.
Okay. All right, Marie. Listen, thanks for the overview. And no doubt there'll be more on this on our news bulletins during the course of today. That's Marie Loftus, from spokesperson for the Ballina Says No campaigners down in Ballina. This is the Tommy Maron Show. Good morning. Thanks again, Marie, for joining us on the programme. Time check, it's 20 past nine.
Midwest Radio Time Check with Ballintubber Abbey, where our gift shop displays a wide array of gift ideas for all ages, proudly sourced from Mayo's talented artists, crafters and writers. Visit ballintubberabbey.ie.
Charlotte asked me to give a little mention, if I would, and I have no problem doing it whatsoever. This Saturday morning from 10 right through until 1, there's a coffee morning at Carrahollie National School to support the Relay for Life Westport event in aid of the Irish Cancer Society, which is happening next month. They do it over 2 days, this Relay for Life down in Westport. They raise vast sums of money for the Irish Cancer Society. So that's Carrahollie National School on Saturday morning from 10 right through till 1. Pop in, have a cup of coffee and support Relay for Life. After the break, we'll be celebrating Poetry Day.
The Tommy Maron Show on Midwest Radio with Westport Adventure, opening this May at Westport Estate. Experience the excitement with twin zip lines, aerial trekking, climbing walls, Ireland's largest net park, and much more. The adventure awaits on westportadventure.ie.
The Mother and Baby Institution's payment scheme is now open for applications. This scheme provides financial payments and health supports to eligible people who spend time in Mother and Baby and County Home institutions in Ireland. There's a straightforward application process in place to help everyone access the benefits that they are entitled to. To find out more, visit gov.ie/payment scheme or call the helpline at 01522 9992. An initiative of the Government of Ireland.
Keith, how's things?
All great. Getting the house done up so you know yourself.
Where'd you get the money for that?
First Choice Credit Union. They offer personal loans from as low as 5.9%.
Really?
Yep. And so easy to deal with.
For more information, go to fccu.ie or call into any First Choice Credit Union office in Achill, Ball, Ballyhonus, Castlebar, Kilchimaw or Swinford. Loans are subject to approval, terms and conditions apply. If you do not meet the repayments on your loan, your account will go into arrears. This may affect your credit rating, which may limit your ability to access credit in the future. First Choice Credit Union Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Join Mayo Rape Crisis Centre on Thursday, May the 2nd in Knockranny House Hotel, Westport for The Power of Voice, a wonderful, uplifting night of music and song by Mayo's finest soloists, choirs and orchestras to mark our 30 years of working in the community. Tickets are on sale now at mrcc.ie.
Have upcoming weddings this summer? A Tear Shapers designs and manufactures shapewear and leggings to smooth and streamline your look. Visit atior.ie or call 087 114 0457. Use code MWR for 20% off.
Dan Racine, Castle Street, Castlebar. Award-winning ladies boutique specialising in occasional wear. Your number one destination for wedding outfits. Call to Dan Racine, Castlebar.
Mary, Pat next door got a Mitsubishi heat pump from Envirotherm. He said it's a great job and they're first class to deal with, so I'm going to get us one.
Why?
To cut down on our heating bills for starters and a €6,500 grant.
Envirotherm, did you say?
That's them, Envirotherm. They're an approved Mitsubishi partner and they'll do all the grant paperwork for us too.
You're just one call away from a Mitsubishi heat pump or an approved service of your existing pump. Envirotherm, 094 925 4000 or see enviro-therm.ie.
So he was like messaging me all night and then he just ghosted me.
No way.
Yeah. He was like, you're so hot, I want to come over.
Okay.
And I was like, cool. And he was like, I'm on my way, driving over right now.
And then?
Nothing.
Phone use while driving can be deadly. Your phone, it won't kill you to put it away. From the Road Safety Authority. Visit rsa.ie.
MediaWise Midwest Literacy Advice.
helping you to figure out the do's and don'ts when it comes to accessing news and information in today's media. Here is today's MediaWise Midwest advice.
Ensure online media safety by selecting reliable sources. Be cautious of misinformation, especially on social media. Verify facts before sharing and question sensational content. Embrace diverse perspectives, but employ critical thinking. Refrain from instantly believing everything that you see. Prioritize responsible information, sharing for accurate updates online. Stay vigilant, be smart, and contribute to a safer and well-informed digital media landscape.
This message is brought to you by Midwest Radio with the support of Commission Naman through the Sound and Vision Scheme.
So today is Poetry Day 2024, and we're delighted to have as our special guest to mark Poetry Day 2024 here on Midwest by one of our own, originally from Swinford, Martin Dyer, the author of the Pickett Prize shortlisted poetry collection Maiden Names. His poem Death of a Post Office has been added to the Leaving Cert prescribed poetry syllabus. He's won numerous awards, including the Patrick Kavanagh Poetry Award in 2009 and the Strokestown International Poetry Award in 2001. He's held fellowships at Trinity College Dublin, the University of Iowa, the Washington Ireland Programme, and he is also going to curate this year's Listowel Writers Festival. And he is also in the final stages of his Decade of Centenaries Writer in Residence at the Jackie Clark Collection. That's under the auspices of Mayo Arts Office. Thanks a lot for joining us on the programme, Martin. Good morning.
Tommy, good morning to you. Lovely to be with you.
Apologies for the slight delay in getting to you this morning, but better late than never. So how's the poetry writing going? Are you writing lots of poems these days?
Yeah, I'm doing my best, Tommy. It still has a hold of me. When I listen to you introducing me there, I think that guy sounds awful busy. It sounds like he couldn't have any time to be dreaming, to be concentrating. But as it happens, particularly in relation to my residency at the Jackie Clark Collection, being busy sometimes can be inspirational. And my dialogue with the Jackie Clark Collection, with the staff there, and just the experience of being immersed in Jackie Clark's legacy and the collection, and indeed having dialogue with local poets, has been a great boost. Yeah. Through a lot of the time of the residency, I have been in an editorial dialogue with my publisher in relation to my next book of poems. So in many ways, that's the kind of work you're not looking for your bolts of inspiration, really. You're kind of trying to get forensic with the poems and make sure they're finished and weed out any little contradictions or discrepancies or try and say goodbye to them, really. You're trying to let go. It's a big step. It's a big step to produce a book. But yes, indeed, even with that busyness, I have written a number of new poems.
Okay.
In the past year. Yeah. Try and make space for them.
Yeah.
Sometimes they tap you on the shoulder. Sometimes you have to turn up and try and write when you're cold, I suppose.
Yeah. Weed them out, as they say. So just to let listeners know, you've been working with this group of Ballina poets writing poems about Ballina, and the book is going to be launched, is it, in Ballina in mid-May?
Probably a little bit later at this stage. We're on the final furlong there, but we do have a lovely manuscript of poems that has come out of the residency. Very early on, going back to last summer, when we were conceiving projects for my time in Ballina, the idea was suggested. It came from a man, certainly many people in Ballina, maybe across the county, and certainly in football circles, may remember a teacher and a farmer by the name of Eugene Loftus had raised this idea. Wouldn't it be wonderful to compose an epic poem about Ballina that never ended? And this was one of this piqued my interest in the early conversations. And it turned out that Eugene Loftus was kind of a gateway into Ballina culture, in particular the theatre scene. He was a multi-talented individual with great energy. And we thought about this idea that it might indeed be possible to put our heads together and try and explore the town and represent the town in poetic form, and to use the extraordinary resource of the Jackie Clark Collection as a gathering place, as a place that makes history tangible, as a place that gives a very strong sense of Ballina as its own centre, its own kind of cultural centre, and it went from there. And, okay. And happily, I had the opportunity to deliver some talks and lectures in the Jackie Clark Collection, and then have one-to-one dialogue, editorial dialogue, and kind of mentorship relationships with some of the local poets. And it's gone very nicely. Some of the students from Meridux came on board. It's been great.
Okay, well done. Now listen, start off, give us a poem. What's that? Now I know the theme this year of Poetry 20 Ireland Poetry Day 2024. This year the theme is around sport.
So I've picked a few poems to share with you, Tommy.
Okay.
Let's see where do we start? Well, I suppose being a Mayo man and you're asked about sport, you're going to think about the men's game, senior football, and the long journey towards the breakthrough of getting Sam. So that has been on my mind as we've approached this occasion. And one thing that I'm thinking about, I suppose, is the grassroots side of that dream, of that long-term disappointment. And I think as Mayo people, we come back to that when we've been made to question ourselves again and again. And so this poem that I've chosen, which is called Footballer by Pádraic J. Daly, I think presents a beautiful image of a young footballer, a young boy who's, I suppose, full of the joy of sport. And in many ways, he's in the very, very best place for a sporting talent to flower. It's self-explanatory. I think it's a beautiful short poem. It's called
Footballer.
Footballer by Pádraic J. Daly.
Okay, in your own time.
Footballer. Below, in the half dark, a boy is hitting a ball against a wall. Now he races out along the field, dancing with it, whispering to it, as if it were a child or a dog, as if no world but this existed, as if this were the world that will exist. There we go. And as I say, I found myself coming back to that idea of the grassroots. And Tommy, you gave me a challenge the last time that we spoke.
This was only yesterday. We were speaking on the phone and I said, we were talking about Mayo football and you were mentioning about the disappointments and so on. And I said, wouldn't it be great to write a poem? What was I calling it? Elusive Sam, was it what I suggested?
Well done, Tommy. That was on the tip of your tongue. And like a fool, I took the challenge and I said, well, if we speak on the radio tomorrow, maybe I'll have something for you. Anyway, I burnt a little bit of midnight oil and I was thinking about that beautiful Pádraic J. Daly poem and I suppose willing to rise to this challenge of looking into the relationship between poetry and sport. We could say that they're different things in some ways, but really when I look back on my own formation as a poet, I came out of Stonemaier Augers, Pádraic and Swinford thinking about myself as a poet, and that's a very unusual thing. I'm willing to accept that, but looking back there were a great many positive influences, and maybe one in particular that comes to mind today is the idea of the footballing tradition in the school, the sporting tradition in the school. We had people like Martin Carney and TJ Kilcallen on the staff. These were living legends.
Yeah.
They were teachers, they were leaders, articulate people, inspirational people. And so my formation and the kind of curious confidence maybe that I was to develop in relation to writing partly comes out of that milieu. So I can't, when I look back on my poetry roots, there's a sporting element to it. But at any rate, Tommy, responding to you in your honour, perhaps.
Thank you.
And as a connection to Pádraic J. Daly's poem about the young footballer, here's a brief poem called Elusive Sam.
Okay, in your own time.
We should not doubt the promised land, but first we have to face it. It's basic stuff the curse has touched. Kick it, love it, chase it. There we go, Tommy. That's
really
the best
good.
I can do in
no, it's not.
In less than
you know what? I often say, you know, it's the short poem that can have the greatest impact. And yes, that is brilliant. Yeah. And, you know, I always think with poems, you really have to digest them and reflect them and read them three or four or five times before you get the real essence of what they are about. Well, that is fantastic. By the way, speaking of short poems, okay. And we did ask listeners to send in poems, and lots of the listeners have. I don't know how many of them we'll get through, but we'll do our very best. This texter says, Tommy, I wrote this very short poem a long time ago after learning calligraphy, and they actually have sent me in a photo shot of the poem. It's called Snowflakes. Very short, but very, very good. It goes as follows. Snowflakes are falling, tumbling down, whirling and sweeping, making no sound. Softly they settle, melting away, living and dying, all in one day. You know, it kind of sums up a snowflake, doesn't it, Martin?
It does, Tommy, yeah. And you can hear the flexibility of the writer behind those words, and the I suppose an ability to surrender to the visualization of the images. And I think that's in many ways a non-human poem. It's a complete contemplation of the elements and a kind of a celebration of the beauty of nature. A very natural flow to that. I'm very impressed by that.
There is. And can I read another one from Breda Highland? And this one has nothing to do with sport. But even though the theme this year is sport, it's all about poetry at the end of the day. And I like this, and I think a lot of our older listeners in particular will resonate with Breda's poem. It's called Where is the Village That Raised Me? And it goes as follows. Where is the village that raised me? Where are the houses that rang with laughter, that filled up with dancing and music, and stayed awake till the light of the moon? Where are the neighbours that nurtured my youth and sheltered me from all harm, and gave me wings to fly when I was ready? Where are the sounds of my childhood? The rattle of the milk can on the way to the creamery, the chuckling of the hens in the yard, the postman whistling through the village, delivering good news and bad. Where are the women who cycle to mass in belted raincoats and silk scarves, who bow their heads in prayer and body of Christ, amen? Women who rocked the babies to sleep and scrubbed clothes on the washboard, and on summer evenings drew water from the well and laughed and talked to their neighbours. Women who knit and sewed under a dim candlelight till their eyes burned and their fingers ached, and they eventually succumbed to peaceful sleep. Where are the men who wore straw hats and smoked woodbines, who worked in the fields raking in the hay and footing and refooting the turf, the shovel and spade engraved in their calloused hands? The men who gathered in suits and Wellingtons to bury their neighbour and show respect for the dead, and drank in their memory till the early hours. The men who gathered at night for a game of 25 and talked about the fares and the price of cattle, who raked the ashes when the embers had died and recited the rosary and safe home. The boreen is empty now, the trees and hedges dull. I touch the half-broken gate and rust stains my finger. Silence like a thickening fog. It hypnoses me. I sense the isolation, the desolation, the loneliness of the bare empty houses. Their happiness buried under years of thick overgrowth. Tears sting my cheeks like the nettles blowing defiantly in the evening breeze around me. I turn away and scream in silence. Wake up, village. Wake up and live again. Breathe again, dance again. Damn it, wake up and be again the village that raised me. And that was written by Breda Highland. Beautiful piece, isn't it?
Yes, Tommy. Yeah, and you read it brilliantly too. I'm struck by just the clarity and the distinctness of your own voice in combination with the clarity of that writing. Like it definitely has multiple virtues to recommend it.
Well,
I think particularly there's a kind of in individual images are just coming up so distinctly and clear. Yeah. Actually, what it brings to mind is, I suppose, well, something that was mentioned recently in relation to the new film and adaptation of John McGahern's That They May Face the Rising Sun, and the director, Pat Collins, wondering, maybe the Ireland that McGahern offers us, which is similar to what Breed is writing about there, I think, a kind of a distinctness. There's a distinctness to it, a recognisability that goes back in time a little bit. Maybe soon enough that world will be unrecognisable to younger generations. But I suppose that then there's an intensity in that questioning, because, I mean, there is, some of those questions are straightforward to answer. Time passes, people pass, and I suppose, yeah, there's a sense that what you know, if you're from a particular place, try as you might hold on to it, it ends up living in memory only, yeah, at the end of the day. Memory, yeah. But I think poetry feeds in there very much. I mean, it is an opportunity for us to conjure things that are not close by, and share things in a kind of a charged language. Yeah.
Time is running on. I want you to do two more poems for me, if you wouldn't mind, Martin. What's next?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be delighted. Well, you know, I think I might try and just match Breeda there with the first verse of A Rath Trí's An Istach Don Airí. I think it's on a similar angle, and I'll read a brief translation for it. Famously, he's thinking about what's possible after St. Bridget's Day and the advent of spring. But here's the first verse: An Istach Don Airí, Beán Lá Ag Dul Chun Síniú, Is Tairéis Na Féil Breeda, Or Dóigh Mé Mhaol, O Chur Mé Imachiane, ni chonoi me chaicha, goshasfi me shirs, ilor gonda muyo. And many people, of course, will know this, but here's a translation. Now with the coming of spring, the day will be inclined to stretch, and after the feast of St. Bridget, I shall raise my sail. Once I have put it into my head, I will be absolutely restless until I am standing down there, down in the centre of County Mayo. I think Rath Trí certainly felt that call for home and that sense of, well, he was only down the road in Galway, you could say, but there was a strong sense of exile in terms of a forced departure from Caledon. I'll give you another one. Shall I, Tommy?
Please do.
Would you like one on a sport theme or on an animal theme? Or?
Well, it's entirely up to you. You choose it.
Okay. Let me see. There's a lovely poem here from the Roscommon poet Jane Clark. This really struck my eye. I was trying to think broadly about sports, so horses were coming into mind and dogs were coming into mind. And this is another special rural image, a recognisable West of Ireland poem. But I think it's maybe to go back to that image of the snowflakes and that idea of the human reaching out to the elemental. I think this is a remarkable and recognisable portrait of the personality of your classic collie dog. And it's called The Lookout. It's from Jane Clark's most recent book, A Change in the Air. Okay. One of the most successful Irish books of poems in recent years, as it happens, shortlisted for the T.S. Eliot Award last year. The Lookout by Jane Clark. Through the wind and rain, he lay in wait, an hour or more on the garden wall, till he spotted the yellow school bus at the top of the road. When he heard us laughing, shouting, squabbling, he jumped barking to the gravel and ran to gather his flock of five. The evening he arrived in the kitchen, the runt from our uncle's best collie, he peed on the tiles. But never again, till near the end, when his legs wouldn't carry him to the back door, long after he'd taught us all he knew about love that waits in the wind and rain.
That's just amazing. Yeah, brilliant. That's
good, isn't it, Tom?
Jane Clark.
Yeah, there's a power in that.
There is.
Jane Clark, a brand new poem, actually, just published within the last year in the collection, A Change in the Air. Yeah, she's a force.
Brilliant. Come here, just before I go, and I really only have about three more minutes, unfortunately, Martin, you know, you are composing poems down there in Ballina with those Ballina writers. Do you have anything from that work that you can give us just to finish?
Yeah, certainly, certainly I do. In fact, I received something really, really quite special. As I said, we're kind of looking for Ballina stories. We're trying to go back in history and use poetry in this epic sense, going back to Eugene Loftus's inspiration. In fact, Marie Loftus, Eugene's wife, has submitted a really wonderful poem, and I've taken the last line of this poem. Which is, and that's going to be the title of our publication. I'd be delighted to read it to you. The thing that strikes me about it, intriguingly, is that the River Moy is inescapable when you go looking for the arts in Ballina, and when you go looking for poetry. I could talk about that all morning, but I'll just mention that. And now I'll read Fisher Boy by Marie Loftus.
Okay.
Dawn is breaking on dappled water. Morning silence broken only by birdsong. A young fisher boy carefully casts his line, full of hope, the banks of the Moy, his heaven.
Marie Loftus, beautiful piece by her called Fisher Boy. I really enjoyed it, Martin. I'm sorry we maybe hadn't dedicated more time to it, but such is the way of the world these days. But it's been lovely to reflect and to talk to you and to hear you read some of those beautiful poems. And if you could just see all the WhatsApps and texts that are coming in from people saying how much they're enjoying the poetry, it would warm your heart. You're living up in Wicklow, are you, these days?
I am indeed, Tommy. Yeah, Wicklow town past few years. And it's a lovely place, lovely people.
Great. Listen, thanks for joining us on Poetry Day, Martin, and best of luck to you and continued success and good luck in Listowel at the Writers' Festival, because I know you're the curator this year, and that's a great honour and something you're really looking forward to. Look after yourself.
Thanks, Tommy. You too.
Take care. Martin Dyer from Swinford, a great guy. But not alone, by the way, is he a poet. He also writes plays as well. For good measure. So I, as I say, so many people have called in to say how much they've enjoyed our little poetry spot this year. And don't forget, if you go on to poetryireland.ie, you'll get details of all of the events that are happening across the region for Poetry Day. It is Midwest at 14 minutes to 10.
Midwest Radio Time Check with Delaney's Mace. Step in today or any day for the widest range of fresh on-the-go or carvery of the day. Delaney's Mace, simply the best in Castlebar.
Happy birthday to a wonderful godson, or grandson actually. It's Andrew Gilboy from Kirklock West in Belmullet. Andrew, hello, good morning and a happy birthday to you today. And that's with all the love in the world from your nanny Alice. Hope you have a good day, Andrew. A reminder of an Alzheimer's Tea Day in the Falcher Rooms, Lacken. That's beside Lacken Church. That's happening tomorrow from 12 till 3. That's for Western Alzheimer's. So if you're in that area, pop in, have a cup of coffee and support a great cause. Joshua, good morning, Joshua, at St. Dimpna's School in Ballina and all of the school who are receiving their first Holy Communions today. Nana, that's Christina Lindsay, wants to wish Joshua all the very best today. And by the way, somebody lost their hearing aid yesterday, possibly in the woods in Beleek, which suggests it might be lost forever, but you never know. So if anybody happens to have fallen upon a hearing aid anywhere in the Ballina area, you might kindly give us a call.
The Tommy Maron Show on Midwest Radio with Westport Adventure, opening this May at Westport Estate. Experience the excitement with twin zip lines, aerial trekking, climbing walls, Ireland's largest net park, and much more. The adventure awaits on westportadventure.ie.
March trade lights up. For more in your Irish Farmer's Journal, is Paul Mooney.
We reveal what's driving cattle prices higher. Prices rocket for marginal ground in the west. Spring lamb prices heading for €10 per kilo. Farmers slam department support for Shannoncallow's flooding. Opposition intensifies in Mayo to French firms' forestry plans. Plus, as stocker turned out, we have all you need to know about upgrading and replacing fencing in our farm infrastructure focus.
All inside the Irish Farmer's Journal. You cannot afford to miss it.
VK Agri Recycling and association with IFFPG are holding their annual farm plastic collection at Headford Mart on this coming Tuesday, 30th of April, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and in Ballinrobe Racecourse on May 2nd and 3rd from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Inquiries to Vincent on 083 026 2491.
Mayo's biggest car boot sale takes place this Sunday from 8am till 3pm at Main Street Car Park, Castlebar. Call 086 108 6502.
Brian Murray from Fair City here. I'm one of the 64,000 people living with dementia in Ireland. Join me on Thursday, the 2nd of May, to mark the 30th anniversary of Alzheimer's Tea Day and help the 30 people who are diagnosed each day with dementia in Ireland. Sign up to host a Tea Day event now at tday.ie.
Logstrap Ireland Limited invite applications for the following positions. Machine shop operators and assembly operators. Previous experience would be an advantage. Sub-assembly operators, full training given. Work local, less driving, better work-life balance. Replies to info@logstrap.ie.
Hold on to your hats. The Wild West Music Fest is back again this year on the Maybank Holiday Weekend. What a lineup we got for you. Some of Ireland's top country music acts. Johnny Brady, Patrick Feeney, Claudia Buckley, Mike Denver, Derek Ryan, Olivia Douglas, Left, the Dublin Paddies, Michael English, Jimmy Buckley. Get your tickets at onlinetickets.ie.
Take a day away just for you. Book a day spa experience at the Ocean Sands Hotel Enniscrone. Choose a rejuvenating facial or restoring massage, followed by time in our relaxation suite and a light lunch from €89 per person. Call Ocean Sands Hotel to book on 096-26700 or visit theoceansandshotel.ie.
The annual Easy Living Furniture Roadshow Sale ends this Sunday. This is your last chance to save big, as absolutely everything is reduced across sofas, dining, bedroom and accessories. We've got everything you need to create the perfect living space with affordable prices and unbeatable quality. And with interest-free finance available, now really is the time to visit Easy Living Furniture, Briefy Road, Castlebar, or shop online at easylivingfurniture.ie.
Whether it's one of your everyday journeys or something a little more epic,
can I have your attention, please? The next aim to France will depart in 10.
The new Volkswagen Tiguan makes every day and every journey extraordinary. The new Tiguan. For all life's journeys. Start your journey today by visiting Conley's Volkswagen Ballina or see conleys.ie.
You've been waiting for it. It's back. The National Suit Event of the Year is now on at Eddie Murphy Menswear Body Honest. Thousands of suits in store. Look your best for a suit from Eddie Murphy Menswear. And we're open tonight till 10.
Welcome back. Well, the October 7th attack by Hamas on Israel has seen the start of one of the most unmerciful wars in modern times. On that Saturday morning, the 7th of April, Hamas attacked Israel. 1,139 people were killed, dozens held captive in Gaza. The response from Israel has been devastating and brutal. And as of this morning, the latest death toll in Palestine stands at 34,740 Palestinians killed since the Israeli counterattack in Palestine. We've heard of mass graves. We've heard of curtailment of emergency supplies. We've heard of the prospects of a famine literally within weeks. Emergency aid being denied to hundreds of thousands. Yesterday, Micheál Martin, our Taoiseach, Minister for Foreign Affairs, who's visiting the Middle East this week, has spoken of his shock and horror at the scale of destruction and death. He's called on Israel to allow emergency aid through immediately. But the Israeli response appears to be that they're moving ahead with its planned military operation in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. And if that happens, it is going to have immense effects and the loss of thousands of more lives. This Sunday at the Castlebar car boot sale, a group that represents the Irish-Palestinian group movement is happening. And this is the Mayo branch of the Irish-Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. And their information stall on Sunday is just to explain to people about how severe and utterly chaotic things are in Gaza. And obviously, like I think the majority of Irish people, the need for this to stop now, because with war, there are no winners. I'm joined by Kate Donnelly. She's secretary of the Mayo branch of the Irish-Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. Kate, do you think that people have ignored this because of the enormity of it, or is it that we're just water off a duck's back because we hear of so much war in the world these days?
Oh, good morning, Tommy. I think it's a combination of things. I think that what we're seeing, I think what we see at the moment of since the attacks on the Palestinian people in Gaza, and increasingly so in the West Bank now as well, we see attacks happening by the Israeli state. But we can see that the people are actually recording, I think for the first time in history, it's actually citizens, it's people themselves, ordinary people, are recording their own destruction. They're recording a genocide happening before them, primarily because the Israelis aren't letting any journalists into the area, any outside journalists to actually record it. They're keeping them out. So we're watching people recording themselves. And Tommy, I'm not sure, I'm sure that you are seeing these if you're following this on social media. The scenes are absolutely horrific, totally horrific. But we also see that there's a campaign by the Israeli state to gaslight us all, to try to make us believe that this isn't really happening. So I think there's mixed messages in lots of Western mainstream media are painting quite a different picture or downplaying what's going on there. So if you're listening to the mainstream media, you'll think you won't get a full flavour of what's happening. But once you go onto your Instagram or your TikTok or your Facebook, you will actually see what's unfolding there in real time. And it is horrific. And I do think people are starting to say, this is actually, this can't go on. We see the students in America, in the Ivy League colleges in America standing up for Palestine now across the world. I think people are so repulsed. And I think that to echo Simon Harris, that we are repulsed, Prime Minister Netanyahu, repulsed by your actions. And I think that certainly there's more and more people contacting us in Mayo to see how they can help. So this is primarily why we're going into the car boot sale on Sunday, to reach more people so people can actually know where they can go, what they can do to help and support.
And yet, despite the fact that all of the administrations all over the world, and I think in fairness to the Irish government, they have been more vocal than most about being critical of the Israeli attacks on Palestinians, we still have the announcements earlier this week that the US government are going to finance a lot more artillery for the Israelis. You know, two and two,
it beggars belief, doesn't it?
It does.
It beggars belief.
Yeah, on the one hand, they're asking Israel to stop and let the emergency aid in. And on the other hand, they're saying, here you are, here's more guns, here's more ammunition.
Yeah, it's like, I'll feed you with one hand. They're dropping supplies in by air, which is fine and all. But why can't they make the Israelis, they have so much sway with the Israelis, why can't they make them open the crossings and really bring in the aid? And also stop killing people. It's not the most basic thing. Stop this now. We've got over a million people crammed into Rafah in southern Gaza Strip, where they were told, if you remember, they were told to go there. This is a safe area, and it's anything but safe. So they've moved people from the north and central Gaza down to Rafah. They have nowhere to go, Tommy. They have nowhere else to go. The Red Cross said yesterday there is nowhere to evacuate them to. So this is going to be like shooting fish.
Yeah,
in a barrel.
Yeah, it's just
Honestly, yeah, it's disgusting. Okay. It is disgusting, so we're trying our best to do as much as we can from our end, from our tiny part of Ireland. And we know what this is like. We know, I mean, Palestine is an occupied country, has been since 1948. We know what this is like, you know, and we've had our own troubles. So we're trying to try, and that's why I think there is a huge empathy for the Palestinian people.
All right, well, the car boot sale on Sunday, if you're there, there's going to be an information stall there from the group representing the Mayo branch of the Irish Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. And if any of our listeners want to join your campaign, Kate, very briefly, how can they do that?
Okay, they can come along on Sunday and have a chat with us. There's going to be Palestinian people on the day. They're going to be there as well, so we'll have a good chat with them. But we also have, just to give a shout out, that the Westival organisers, the wonderful people over there in Westport, they are having a showing of Gaza, the film, tonight in the W Cinema at 6:15. So if they want to go to that, we're going to have a stand there too. People can join up. They can follow us on social media too. We have a Facebook page. We have Instagram account okay. too. And they can contact us, even if they go to the main IPSC, Ireland-Palestine Solidarity Your Campaign contacts. Website, they'll be directed okay. towards okay. us. And also, we're going to have an open mic night in the Clock Tavern in Westport on the 9th of, Thursday the 9th okay. of May. Okay. It's Gaza Vision. We're asking people to boycott the Eurovision Song Contest.
Okay, very good. Listen, thanks for that update, Kate.
No problem. Thanks so much, Tommy. I really appreciate the time. And you too.
Bye-bye. That's Kate Donnelly there, Secretary of the Mayo Branch of the Irish Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. Just before we go for a break, John in Sligo says, if poetry doesn't rhyme, it's not poetry. It's like reading a newspaper article. Lots of people would disagree with you on that, John. And by the way, Orla Bakeberg McConnon, good friend of ours, she had that wonderful book of reflections and poetry called Life Threads. Just to let you know that as part of Poetry Day and the theme of good sports, Orla is doing a reading session from her poetry photo book, Life Threads, at Westport Library this evening at 7. All are welcome to go along. Good luck with that, Orla. Time check on Midwest. It's 1 minute to 10.
Midwest Radio Time Check, with thanks to O'Hare's Bakery, your one-stop shop for communions and confirmations this year. O'Hare's, where you can choose from our wide selection of special cakes and catering pleasures, all available for collection at any O'Hare's Bakery and Cafes, o'hares.ie.
Westporthouse.ie, our sponsors, the opening of Westport Adventure Park is nigh. We'll be back with a news update next.
Midwest Radio.
This Sunday, join Eunice Moran for Sunday Choice on Midwest Radio, live from Aughamore Vintage Day. Eunice will be sampling the atmosphere of this great day out.